This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. A few years ago, my wife was reading a book called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, written by a journalist by the name of Rebecca Skloot. And I saw the name, and my wife usually reads fiction and mysteries and that sort of stuff. And so I asked her what the book was about. And she said, well, this is not a novel. This is a real life story of a woman by the name of Henrietta Lacks, who died of cervical cancer in 1951. And since then, scientists have been using her cells to develop all sorts of cures and do research into all sorts of diseases. And it's an amazing story because this woman died more than six decades ago, but her body is still giving to science. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing story. And she read the book, and I heard a little bit of other buzz about it. But it wasn't until this week that I heard some more about it when I read a column by my next guest, Arthur Kaplan, who is a bioethicist and the head of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center. Art, welcome back to America Weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure having you on the show. Before we talk about what happened this week, talk about some of the contributions to science that have come from the cells of Henrietta Lacks.
Well, the cells are called HeLa cells, after Henrietta Lacks. They have been used, probably one of the greatest tools ever introduced into medicine, in terms of growing them in dishes and then studying them. Polio vaccine was developed, tested against these cells first for safety. Some listeners may know their animals get something called parvo vaccine, tested on these cells, both in humans and then eventually used in animals, a real benefit to their health. Cancer studies, some of the treatments involving Taxol, which are used for breast cancer, all studied on these cells. Safety, household products, bleach and perfumes and so on, tested against these cells. Don't need to do it in animals, don't need to do it in people, because you've got these cells. So these cells, widely used. Every first-year medical student will see an experiment with them. They are grown in, if you will, artificial culture, sort of chemical goop. They love it. They grow like crazy. That was the big breakthrough with these cells. They were the first ones ever to be grown in dishes outside the body, and they remain the standard.
Now, when I heard about this the first time, I thought, wow, that is great foresight on the part of Henrietta Lacks or her family to have donated her body to science and to see it go on to be so helpful in the future. But the truth is, they didn't know that was going to happen, did they?
They didn't. Henrietta Lacks was a poor African-American, basically sharecropper farmer. She had five kids, poorly educated, lived in rural Virginia, came in with complaints to Johns Hopkins in 1951. She basically was diagnosed with cervical cancer. We didn't have pap smears then. We certainly didn't have the vaccine that's around today to prevent getting cervical cancer. So wasn't picked up until it was in an advanced stage. And by that point, there wasn't really anything people could do. A scientist at Hopkins, where they went, looked at her cells and thought, well, this is an aggressive tumor. I've got a project underway to try and figure out if I could grow cells out in dishes. And he took some of her cells, and that's the start of the HeLa cells and all the rest of the story.
Okay.
She never knew. She never gave permission. Family never knew. They never gave permission.
So what happened this week that changed the story and brought it to the fore again?
So this week, scientists a couple of months ago had realized we can now figure out the genes, the genetic makeup of these cells that are so useful and that grow like crazy. People often ask me, well, why do these grow and others don't? We don't know, but it's probably something in the genes of the cells. And now we've got the techniques, we've had them for a few years, to figure out the genetic composition of the HeLa cells. So we want to publish that. Scientists said they were going to do it. People found out about that, contacted now the grandchildren of Henrietta Lacks, and they said, wait a minute, before you do that, could you at least get our permission now? The scientists said, okay, let's put everything on hold. A series of meetings was held in Baltimore, where the grandchildren now are and live, with officials from the National Institutes of Health, and they struck a deal. They said, okay, we're not going to get any money for this because it's too complicated and strange to try and go back 50 years and figure out who owes who what. We'll make a gift of everything, the family said, but we would like Henrietta Lacks acknowledged in papers. And if you could learn about our biology or private information about us by doing these gene tests, let us have some say in who publishes this and how much they publish. We only want real scientists looking at it. We don't want it up on Facebook if you could figure out things about us from the genes of our grandmother's cells. Strange as that sounds, you can. So that was the deal. It's 60 years in the making now, but we finally have a resolution to this long injustice.
You mentioned that there's no financial compensation because you can't go back six decades and pay somebody for that, although that seems awfully odd. It tells me that lawyers weren't involved. But but why can't they say, you know what, this information is out there, but in the future, if some product is made thanks to our grandmother's cells, you know, we should get something out of this. After all, there are certainly companies that have profited from those cells, haven't they?
There are. And here's the weird thing, Paul. Just this year, listeners will remember a Supreme Court decision about patenting the genes in the breast cancer test. That ring a bell?
Yeah.
We had this Myriad Genetics company that had patented genes. Well, the Supreme Court said, guess what? You cannot patent naturally existing genes or biological materials. The only way you make money is if you change it or alter it or add something to it or pull something out. But if it's just out there, you can't patent it. Well, strangely enough, that's the HeLa cells. Nobody did anything to them. They just grew them all the time. So from this point forward, the money is in the manipulation. It isn't in the raw material. I'm not going to say whether that's right or wrong, but that's the policy we have now. So you or I, if we were asked to give tissue, we wouldn't make a nickel if they didn't. If they just sort of said, oh, well, look, you know, Paul cells grow in dishes too. They just do it naturally. Hooray, let's use them. There's no money in it for me or you. We just turn out to decide whether we want to make the tissue available or not.
Can we have our stuff taken now without permission?
No, that has changed. That really was fixed probably 20 years ago. You can decide if you're in the hospital and someone says, I'm taking out your prostate, I'm going to have to amputate your leg, I'm going to collect some of your blood. You absolutely have to be asked your permission for that. If you aren't, then you could have a lawsuit and say you violated my informed consent. So absolutely you have the right and should expect, if anyone wants to take any of your tissues to study them or do research with them, you do have the right to give your permission to that or not. You could say, I don't want it done.
At the time that Henrietta Lacks cells were taken in 1951, were cells also being taken from other people? And has anything ever happened with those?
Cells were taken from other people, and lots of things happened. You had people taking cells and trying to figure out, I'll just give you one example. The Mayo Clinic has had a tumor bank of everybody who had breast cancer, I think, since the 1940s. They've tried to study those tumors to see, well, are certain people more at risk of getting breast cancer than others? Same thing with lung cancer, just looking for associations. So, yep, it has been done. It was done. I think the Henrietta Lacks family got more of a raw deal in that they didn't, they just didn't understand even what was going on. And as their cells or their mom's cells became more and more useful and more exploited for commercial purposes, they were trying to find out what was going on and no one would tell them. So in that sense, they were, that's why they took it on the chin more than others. But yep, in the 50s, basically, people took what they wanted and didn't worry about it. That's not true today.
We mentioned that she died in 1951 of cervical cancer, and you mentioned that some of her cells have gone forward to help develop vaccines. Mm-hmm. I'm curious whether they contributed at all to the HPV vaccine, which now all teenage girls should be getting, and teenage boys for that matter as well, to prevent cervical cancer going forward.
That's a great question. They didn't, ironically. The vaccines that they tended to be useful for were the ones where you have a virus and you're testing it on the cells, but HPV vaccine today was made through genetic engineering, that is to say, figuring out what that virus is and then making little bits of it to inject into people to get an immune reaction. They didn't have to run it through that cell level of testing on the HeLa cell. So I don't think it was. But I think it's probably had a role in just about every other vaccine that we have today.
Sounds to me like the Lacks family really owes a big thanks, not just to the NIH, but particularly Rebecca Skloot, the reporter who told their story.
She told the story. She was certainly involved in alerting them to the fact that this genetic study of their now grandmother's cells was about to take place. I know she helped arrange some of these conversations, so she deserves a lot of credit. She's been on this story, it must be 5, 6, 7 years now. So she didn't give up once the book was a big hit. She stayed with it.
What a great story. Art Kaplan, bioethicist and head of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center. It is always a pleasure having you on.
Hey,
thanks for your
pleasure.
Time today. I'm Paul Harris. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll have knuckleheads in the news, and then attorney Gloria Allred on the women who are suing San Diego Mayor Bob Filner for sexual harassment.